Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today, the topic is the Burning Man Global Leadership Conference. This was the 11th year. It was my first year. It is a gathering, a convention for all of the regional contacts around the country and the globe who are organizing Burning Man sanctioned events. It is also, in more recent years, allowed community leaders and theme camp leads and other people that could benefit from this intense discussion and sharing of ideas and philosophies and inspiration. Now, I'm not offended that I haven't been invited before. Honestly, I had a feeling that maybe, you know, it wasn't for me. You know, I thought it was a place where, you know, you go if you, you know, you're a beginner. You need to learn a few things about Black Rock City. And I'm certainly no beginner. But I did learn a lot. And I was not aware of what was happening at this annual gathering. And I wasn't aware of what's happening in the Burning Man community, movement, family, supernova at large. And what I mean by that is that even though I spend so much time thinking about Black Rock City, so much time talking about Burning Man and the principles, it's so much more than Black Rock City. And not just the events, but there's Burners Without Borders, there's Fly Ranch. And I want to get into some of those things a little bit deeper. One of the most impactful things of the weekend for me was spending some time with and seen a presentation by the Washington, D.C. Burners. They did an event the last 2 years called Catharsis on the Mall, where they bring art cars and theme camps and a temple to the National Mall, in front of the Washington Monument, the place where Martin Luther King Jr. gave a speech in the famous photograph. And I saw the pictures, and it was so cool to see the Abraxas dragon in front of the national, you know, iconic imagery of the Capitol. But it wasn't until I talked to the people involved and heard the story of what they went through that I was like, oh, whoa. Because so much of my interactions with Burning Man is California-based. And so there's kind of this extension of the Burning Man vibe that I'm familiar with. But as I met people from these other locations and these other places and these other cultures and these other passions, I could see the way that the Ten Principles and the Burning Man ethos was manifesting in ways that was so perfect, so beautiful, so in line, and yet so different from things that I had experienced in the past. And so part of seeing what they were doing in Washington, D.C. was when I met with the people and learned from them, it wasn't just a bunch of burners who got home from Burning Man and was like, oh man, it'd be so cool if we did this on the lawn. These were people with a history and tons of experience with professional activism, lawyers, activists who merged their skills and passions and talents and knowledge with the Burning Man philosophy, the Burning Man principles, the Burning Man kind of energy. And I found that so exciting. I mean, if you haven't seen yet, look up Catharsis on the Mall and see this beautiful juxtaposition of freedom as only Burning Man can demonstrate right next to the Washington Monument and the parade that they did in front of the White House. And so that was a big one. And that was just a demonstration of one of the chapters, one of the regional energies and how it had a different flavor from what any other region has, of course. It's kind of like Burning Man is the ingredient for this global Iron Chef competition. And each region takes the Burning Man ingredient and spices it according to their local region and adds the flavors and locations and energies, and it's exciting. It's especially exciting for me because, you know, I've only been to Utopia, San Diego's regional, Bequinox now, just recently, the LA regional, Blazing Swan, the Western Australia Regional. And so I just now getting a sense of what the regionals have to offer and what is so incredible and magic about them, which is great because as ticket sales become more and more difficult, I feel a little uncomfortable when I speak so glowingly about Burning Man, knowing that so many people are not going to be able to get tickets. But you didn't get tickets last week? No big deal. Find a regional because it will be awesome. And so many of the same things that are inspirational about Burning Man, you will experience at a regional. In fact, you can really connect with people at a regional because you see them over and over as opposed to just this massive flood of 70,000 people. You also can impact a regional in a very different way than you can the Burn. You could spend all year on a project, bring it to Burning Man, and most people would never see it. You could spend all years on something that is connected to a regional, and you can affect the whole event. You can really steer the whole vibe of something because it is the size where every person's participation really matters. Not, you know, don't mean to put too much pressure on you because you're perfect and your gifts are awesome and whatever it is you have to share is exactly what the regional and the Big Burn needs. And if you don't know what that is, get surrounded by those people and it'll start to bubble up and you'll start to feel it and you'll start to just be compelled to share or help and get involved with another project that needs an extra set of hands or some ideas. So that was awesome. And then the Fly Ranch, which I've talked about in the past, Burning Man recently acquired property next to the Black Rock, the Playa. It still has parts of Black Rock Desert in it. It also has marshlands and hot springs and wild horses. It's when I visited last year, it kind of blew my mind. And so there was talk about where that's headed. And right now, the organization is in a listening phase, listening to ideas, listening to the land itself. In fact, I heard that a ecologist is going to be spending the next year on site studying and listening to the land to see what direction they might be inspired to go. That seems like a cool job, isn't it? I wonder if, you know, do they list that in Craigslist? Looking for someone to listen to the land. And the Burners Without Borders is another thing. Like, I'm aware of the Burners Without Borders, but when I hear the projects that are going on with refugees, with food gardens, and they do things themselves as well as give grants to organizations that are doing things. The one that really just like gives me shivers is, and they did a test of it on the Playa this year, and then I think they've actually brought one, and I think it went to Tibet, but don't quote me on that. Which was they turned a shipping container into a tool storage and distribution center. Everything that you would need on high-end stuff, like a laser printer, or laser cutter. See, I'm not much of a maker. I'm learning. So they had then things with hard things on the end to pound things, and they had the screwy things. No, all these tools from shovels and hammers, everything that you would need in a well-outfitted workshop. And they provide that as a lending library in places where there are disasters, places where there is need of reconstruction, because there is this trap, this bad pattern of Westerners coming in as saviors and trying to come in and fix broken communities. One, there's tons of stories of that money being poorly used. Two, that's not empowering. But the lending library allows the people in that community that know what needs to be fixed, have the passion to do so, to fix it themselves with the help of a tool bank that can bring the community, that can rebuild, that can, you know, make their homes something that they are proud of, as opposed to being saved from by these outsiders. And just beyond the things that the organization is doing, beyond the projects, was these people. Over and over and over, I heard stories of people who were transformed. And I know it's almost like cliche, a Burning Man changed my life. Yeah, because Burning Man changes lives. And I'm not saying you don't have to go to Burning Man to get your life changed, but it's an awesome catalyst for so many people, myself included. Because as these people get changed, they find themselves pulled towards service. They find themselves addicted to a duocracy mindset where when you see something that's not working, you go, okay, how do I help fix this? And in doing so, you create ripples because you become I heard the term this weekend, a inspiration model, which is different than a role model. Because I think we need that. I think we need examples of people who are making the courageous act to turn away from the standard definitions of success and embracing purpose, embracing creativity, embracing their heart songs in ways that makes a difference in the world. And embracing kindness. In the panel that I was in, Answer Girl said she thinks of Burning Man sometimes as a kindness Olympics, where like somebody falls down and there's like almost like a competition. I've got a Band-Aid. I'm a doctor. I can carry you to a medic. You know, like everyone is so eager to be helpful, and I like that. I think I'm a kindness Olympian. There was, in addition to the inspiring people and the general activism that I think living fully embodies. I mean, that's something that I can't understate how important I think it is to see our lives as our art and see that there is courage in being yourself. There is courage in being bold in whatever it is true to you. That doesn't mean being having pink hair because you're supposed to stand out. But if you feel like having pink hair, you should do it because it's doing what you are, being who you are, that is the path to our own healing and world healing. That being said, I don't know if you noticed, my hair is a kind of a funky, light, pinky shade because I am honoring my truth. And I've sometimes been feeling blonde and white lately, and sometimes I've been feeling pink lately. And when I went amongst my burner family, I kind of felt like I wanted to be pink. But now it's fading out a little bit. Okay, back on track. Another thing that was very prevalent in a number of the conversations that were either on stage or in rooms or in hallways and at meals was the role of politics and activism. You know, it's just like everywhere in America right now. It is hard to spend too much time with somebody and not start talking about the state of our political system on a national level specifically. And this was a tough one because some people feel very strongly that now that we have this movement, that there is this obligation to mobilize and activate towards social change, towards political, movement and legislation, and then there's other people who feel like the whole point of Burning Man is to not align with any specific headspace because it will dilute the beauty and the power of that total freedom that Burning Man allows people. I know that when the Green Man was the Green Man theme, there was a lot of push to try to make Burning Man more eco-friendly and more eco-conscious. And I know a lot of people that go to the burn and eventually feel like it's so frustrating to them to see so much non-eco-conscious activities. And so there's this push to integrate that more into Burning Man. And I love the idea of participants integrating that into the way that they participate. But I am against doing it as a policy or doing it as an organizational intention. Because the magic is that this is a petri dish that allows anything. And once you start kind of trying to push the way the growth happens, even if it's in the right way, it can be, I think, a dangerous, slippery slope. So we should be more eco-conscious. Does that mean we should forbid bacon? One could certainly argue. I'm sure many vegans have argued. And so a lot of conversations that I was in was about this and trying to figure out, you know, you can't deny that we need to do something as individuals for sure. And how does that happen? And is there a way, are there avenues of activism that can stay fully within the principles and fully within the ethos of the existing Burning Man magic? And I could see ways of that happening. But I think it's really something that has to be tiptoed around. Like Burners Without Borders is a Burning Man sanctioned and group that does things that are activist in some way. They're at least positive. Although you can't really, that's the thing, you can't like argue that which side of the political spectrum would say we shouldn't help people in need. You know, don't answer that. I don't want to get into this debate. I guess my point is there's a difference, as we talked in the past here, about political issues and freedom, reducing suffering, civil rights, things like that. And I could see how a Burning Man offshoot organization could allow people who are activated by Burning Man to get together and work towards things in the social change category that are less issues-based, less partisan, but are more freedom-based. Because underneath all of this is the feeling that, well, Burning Man needs to fight for self-preservation. So if there is political things out there happening that could jeopardize the event, the community, the network, the movement, well, to avoid fighting for some activist cause, because we're against fighting for activist causes, and then that action resulting in our demise, well, that would be a bad idea as well. One of the things that was really cool to see at the event was there were people walking around all over the place with these funny red hats. And I have one, you can see one hanging on a pole there behind me. These were the Phrygian caps, also called Liberty caps. And they look kind of like a Papa Smurf hat. It's like a pointy ski cap hat kind of thing where the point of the top falls forward. And I'd seen pictures of them, of people wearing those at the DC event. And I was actually, I remember thinking like, that's a weird stylish decision. But at this event, there was a lot of people wearing them. And when I got to sit down with the DC people, I got to hear the story of the Phrygian caps. And at first I was like, you're messing with me. You're messing with me. But then I went on Wikipedia and realized that it was a real thing. So the Phrygian cap has been around since ancient times and was very visible during the history of the United States, specifically in the Revolutionary times. During the Revolutionary War, colonists donned Phrygian caps and constructed liberty poles as acts of defiance against the British government's unethical taxation of colonies without representation. So this here, this Liberty poll, is a statement. It is a return to freedom. It is a powerful reclaiming of something that has tons of historic meaning. In fact, again, look it up. Don't just trust me. That Liberty cap is on the silver dollar. Lady Liberty is wearing one. If you look at the Army seal, the U.S. Army, the middle of it is a freedom cap, a freedom pole, with this decree that's what the Army's about, is trying to defend that freedom. I'm serious. I know. I was just as... I know. But that being said, since it's so awesome and has so much history, even though it's red, I'm going to put it on. If you are listening on the podcast and can't see me, imagine Papa Smurf without a beard, with a less blue skin tone, and that is exactly what I look like right now. Yeah, where is the catwalk? Boom, 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 boom. So, with that being said, I will say that I am dedicated to liberty and freedom. And if we can find a way, and I saw a lot of smart people talking about it, that we can integrate this fighting for freedom with the fighting for personal expression and truth that Burning Man wakes up in people, then I'll get on board. But until then, I kind of side with the let's not get political. Let's let burners activate, then organize outside of Burning Man, and become activists. So if you are a burner, whether you've gone to Burning Man or gone to a regional event or simply embraced the principles in your life in some way, or if you are simply someone who is walking your path and pursuing your truth, I am honored to be on that path with you. And I'm excited that I get to meet more and more people that are activated and passionate and working to change the world in a way that inspires them. Find the inspiration and then create things in the world that create those ripples of inspiration. Seeing it as a duocracy, not moaning about the broken world, but distributing band-aids and hammers and nails. So I am excited to continue working together with this community and the community with a capital TC of this country and planet to taking the steps of integrity on little ways and big ways. To express our truths. So thank you for being a part of this amazing journey. I'm so honored to be able to share this time with you. I feel so re-energized. I feel so energized from this weekend and now to get to share it. And thank you. I love you.
You've been listening to the Hug Nation podcast. Find our Facebook, YouTube, mailing list, or iTunes links on hugnation.com.